So, we a few years ago, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who was going on a trip with his son and his daughter. And the reason that was significant is that he'd gone through a very challenging time with a divorce, and his teenage daughter stopped talking to him. And she basically didn't talk to him for a couple of years. And all of a sudden I get this call out of the blue, and he's on a trip with his son and his daughter. And I thought, well, that's great. But she was sitting in the car with him, so I didn't say anything then. But later I said, so what happened? You know, it sounds like you've reconnected with your daughter and it's all working out well. And he said, I said, what'd you do? And he said, I changed the story I told myself about her. And I thought it was such an interesting answer. And before he'd been saying, you know, that she hated him and all of these things, and he changed his story and it kind of opened the door and all kinds of new possibilities happened.
And so when our friend told us that, we started exploring the whole psychology of stories that we tell ourselves, because we have a habit of having an internal narrative going on in our mind, or internal dialogue, where we're constantly talking to ourselves and we're meta-commenting on what's going on in the world. And these meta-comments can turn into these stories, and in a sense, the stories can sometimes even be somewhat like beliefs, and they can start ruling your reality or creating your reality.
And where does your story come from?
Experience.
Comes from you, right? Your own thoughts about something. So we spin these stories about things, and then we just keep the story going, and it becomes our reality. If you think about it, every one of us in this room has a different reality. If you stopped existing, the world that you know would no longer exist any longer, right? Because it's the way you know anything is through your thoughts, your interpretation, your experiences, and how you're putting it together in your head. So, in a very real sense, we're making all this up, whatever life experience we're having. So if you don't like the life experience you're having, you can change your story.
And for our friend, the fact that he was able to change his relationship with his daughter was so powerful, because every time we got together with him over the course of 2.5 years, he was so tormented by this situation with his daughter, and that we heard so much about it. And so for him to just casually say, oh, I changed my story, and then we no longer were hearing that story anymore, was powerful. And we saw him go through a dramatic change, not only in terms of his own self-identity, but his relationship with his children. So we wanted to start exploring how could we create a process with this, not only a process to identify your story, but to change your stories. And we started exploring that. And a key part of being able to change your story is to identify your story, because more often than not, your stories are unconscious. There's something that's outside of your conscious awareness.
It's just the way things are. You're just telling yourself. So it's like you're in a play and it's just playing out. So you have to be able to get a change. You need to be able to step out of the system you're a part of so you can get a good look at it from a different perspective.
And a great example of what Tim was just saying is one time I was working with a client, and just like Tim said, he was talking about this issue in his life. He was telling me about it. And as he was telling me about it, he said, I just hate my job. I hate my job. I hate my job. Well, it's interesting, because he said this unconsciously, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job. Well, interestingly, his job was that he would go in and he would clean these buildings. And that was his family business. And it was given to him from his father, who had done quite well. And so he inherited the family business. So he felt this responsibility to carry on the legacy. But he was so miserable in his life and so depressed, but he didn't even realize that the seed of that depression was this ongoing dialogue in his head, and it was actually that very story, I hate my job, I hate my job, I hate my job. So with a little bit of work, we shifted that, and we did a process that you're going to learn here later today, and shifted it. And he ended up quitting that job and getting a new job as a, what do you call the people that like manage and delegate, like an office manager. That was what he ended up doing, and he loved it. It turned out he was a real natural delegator, so he was able to build on those skills. Now, sometimes stories can also be deep beliefs that can completely alter the course.
Or clusters of beliefs.
Or clusters, and I'll give you an example of that. I had a friend of mine who, since she was a little girl, and I don't know why this is, but she told herself she was going to get cancer one day. And this was just a story, and she so believed this story that she said she even started collecting articles on cancer. And then when she hit about 50 years old, she was diagnosed with fourth stage cancer. And she said, I knew it. I knew I was going to get cancer because that's I just knew that. That's what I'd been telling myself. And sadly, she died of it. So these stories that we tell ourselves can also become self-fulfilling prophecies. And the thing that people don't realize is you can change them, just like our friend did. He changed his relationship with his daughter by changing his story. If you have a story about your health that you're telling yourself, you can change it.
We had a group of colleagues, and we all got together, I guess, 2010, and had a meeting because they're all people that do what we do. They're kind of in the seminar business. And open enrollment seminars got really challenging to do during the deepest part of the recession because people didn't have as much discretionary income and stuff like that. And so we got together, we started identifying the stories we were all telling ourselves about it. Oh, it's a recession, it's really hard to get people in, you're gonna have to work really hard and do all this stuff to be successful. And so we started listening to the stories we were telling ourselves, and we all changed our story, and it's like just everything got easy. So it's one of those things, if you change your story, you're changing your experience in the world. And so we're going to give you that opportunity. And the first thing you need to do, as Chris said, is you need to discover what your story is. So you might want to think of some aspect of your life that's not exactly the way you want it to be right now.
There can be two ways you can begin to think about your story. Perhaps there's something in your mind that you find that you're ruminating on a lot, or just something that you're running through your head. And so there might be elements of an unconscious story there. Or the other way to begin the process of identifying is maybe there's just something in your life that you are perpetually unhappy about, something under the surface. It could be maybe a situation with a family member that you've just put off in the distance, or maybe something with work or with your future or your health or your career, but just something that's kind of always there and you keep chipping away at it, and no matter what, it's like there's this sense of feeling helpless.
Or something in your life that seems difficult. It's hard. It's never going to happen. I really want it, but there's nothing I can do to really make it work exactly the way I want. Something like one of those kind of issues, and you might think about, so what's the story you're telling yourself? Or some way you've been stuck.
And then we have five key questions that you'll ask, and in a moment we'll have you go out in groups of two, and you'll interview each other with these questions. And we've had some time to really work these questions, so we know that these are powerful and useful questions.
So the first one is, so you want to think about this. Just think about some ongoing situation.
And so, yeah, so the first one is to think about an ongoing problem or an ongoing situation that you have in your life. And notice, what are you telling yourself about it? What is your story? Now, keep in mind, there's a story, and then there's the unconscious story behind the story, and that's what we're going for, is the unconscious story behind the story. So the first question is, think of an ongoing situation, and what is your story about it?
What do you say to yourself?
And then number two is notice the words or the phrases you're saying to yourself over and over again as you think about that problem. So what are the words or the phrases that you're saying to yourself as you think about that problem?
Yeah, like our friend was with the daughter, realize that what he said all the time was something like, you know, she's never going to listen to me. She's never going to, I'm never going to be reconnected to her. If you say that, what images go in your brain? You're kind of creating a future for yourself, right? If I say it's never going to happen, you're going to create a blank future. You're not going to organize anything. One of the things we know about outcomes in NLP is if you get a really clear and well-formed outcome, you'll start organizing your unconscious behavior to move towards it. Well, if your outcome is nothing, guess what you're going to organize your experience to move to? Nothing. Right?
Well, and my client, what his original, I mean, what he set up the whole coaching about, the one that hated his job, is he said he just felt stuck in his life. But for him, moving into a different career wasn't even an option because that was the family business. So once we got to the deeper part about him hating his job was a huge aha for him. So the third one is, this is a useful and important question. What is the impact of telling yourself the story and how does it affect you emotionally? So what is the impact of telling yourself the story and how does it affect you emotionally? What's it doing to you emotionally? And the fourth one is, if you were going to sum up your story into a short phrase, what would it be? So like our friend was, you know, my daughter
hates me.
Or the other guy was, I hate my job. Or the woman was, I'm going to get cancer one day. She didn't have the part in there about dying, but, you know, this was... It was 1996, but I almost get that if I had known this process and took her through it, what would have been the deeper story was she was going to die of cancer. And number four is, if you're going to sum up your story into a short phrase, what would that be? So it's just a phrase or one sentence.
On page 18.
So it's on page 18. And then the last one is, what is the positive purpose or the positive intention behind this story? And this is a key part of the interview, because when you go out and do the actual DSR process for how to change stories, sorting for positive intention is the second step of a process you'll be learning. And as we had told you this morning, it's a more advanced and eloquent way, I think, of doing it, and your efficacy rate increases exponentially when you start sorting for positive intention and you do the spinning.
Now, this idea of positive intention is, you don't do, we all have, there's always some purposeful reason why we're doing something. We're trying to get something for ourselves. So what does telling yourself this story do for you is a good question. You might even want to write that down. So what does telling yourself the story get for you?
And I'll give you a fun example of that. I had a client, as I told you, I do a lot of business development coaching and business coaching in the more recent years. And so I had a client who was stressing out at work because she didn't feel like her coworkers respected her. And she was having a lot of stress over this. And so one day we were talking, and of course there were several other things we were dealing with because it was business development coaching, but this was just one of many issues. And so one day we were on the phone talking, and she said, "Hey, I completed this project at work today. I'm so proud of myself. I'm such a big girl." And then she was telling me about something else that she did, and she said, "I'm so proud of myself. I'm such a big girl." Well, what was interesting about that is she was a little bit overweight. And I thought this, "I'm such a big girl." And when she said it, it was almost like she was age regressing. And my very first thought was, no wonder her coworkers don't respect her. And I brought this to her attention, and she was like, and that was kind of an unconscious story she had been telling herself, is I am such a big girl, but there was, you know, the phonological ambiguity of it with her body size, but then the fact that she's also unconsciously making an image of her being a girl when she's supposed to be an adult in the workforce. And of course, how we got, you know, to all of this, we did some interviewing around it. When we got to positive intention, I asked her, you know, well, what do you think, you know, saying that story to yourself, you're a big girl, is getting you? How is it serving you? What is the positive intention? And she said, well, gosh, I guess it just, you know, it motivates me to really take action and to be good at what I do. And ultimately, I just want to be a mature, competent woman. Aha! That would be a good story to start telling yourself. You're a mature, competent woman. And so she did. And over the course of a couple of weeks, she noticed that the dynamics within work had shifted dramatically. But not only that, about a month later, she said she basically dropped a pant size without doing anything. And some part of me just wonders if shifting that story helped make that happen. But getting the positive intention underneath why she was telling herself was a real a key part of the process. Mm-hmm. So these are the five questions that you would ask in an interview format. And so in a moment, we'll have you go out and do this in groups of two, and you'll take about 20 minutes each.
And by the way, to get to the positive purpose, the question you ask is, what are you trying to get for yourself by telling yourself the story?
Why don't you write that down, because it's not in the handouts. So what are you trying to get for yourself by telling yourself that story? And this is what we call in NLP like a meta-outcoming question. You're going for that deeper outcome, yes.
What if there's no positive, like it's like more like self-destructive or something?
What if there's no positive intention? Yeah.
Well, there may not be a positive intention in the story. That's why I wrote, by telling yourself the story. There's some good reason for doing it or you wouldn't be doing it. Just like if you have a limiting belief. If I have a limiting belief that says, since I'm basically stupid, I'll never be successful. That's a fairly common one. So there's probably nothing positive in that.
I'll give you an example.
But,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I've got to.
Okay, cool. Go
going somewhere with this. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
It's
called a pattern interruption.
I'll distract you. I'll say something, and then when you remember me, why don't you stop and go for it? Did you remember yet?
Yeah.
Don't think about it now.
Are you doing NLP on me? So, like if I have this belief, since I'm stupid, I'll never be successful. There's nothing necessarily positive in that belief, but there's some good reason for me telling that. It's probably something I learned as a child, and I'm doing it as a way to stay connected, for example, to my original family. I'll give you a good example of that. I had a client who was... I was working with, kind of like doing business coaching with her. And one day she said, you know, there's something else I'd like to work on besides business. And I said, well, what is it? And she said, I have this stupid fat stomach. And I said, stupid fat stomach. And I said, so we started talking about that. And I had her do kind of a process where I had her drop down and become her stomach for a minute. And she got all these really angry feelings that came out. And what it turns out is when she was a little girl, she became daddy's little princess, so to speak, and her mother got jealous of her. And her mother had been this beautiful actress, and now there's this little girl coming, she thought, between her and her husband, you know, who's getting all the attention, and mom got jealous. And this was, I'm sure, all very unconscious, but she kept telling the little girl, she said, well, you'll be cute someday when you lose all that baby fat. And so the little girl made an unconscious contract with her mother to not be competition. Does that make sense? Problem is now she's like 46 years old, and her mother was like 80, and there wasn't any kind of issue like that. But she'd maintained this story for her whole life about the stupid fat stomach. And she'd been to the doctors over and over again and had all kinds of tests, and she wasn't really fat. It was more like kind of a bloating. And when she's changed her story about this, like the one Chris talked about, she changed it to a girlish figure. And she said the whole thing changed within a few, she didn't really do that much else with it. It was recognizing where it came from and changing up that story. So the positive purpose behind that story was protecting her mother. And she never would have got that consciously by just saying, oh, the reason I'm saying I've got a stupid fat stomach and maintaining that unconsciously is to support my mom. It would never have occurred to her. But by exploring it, it began to come out. So there's always a good reason behind everything, a positive intention. You're trying to get something of value. Our friend who was saying this about his daughter, my daughter hates me, was constantly doing that so he could figure out some strategy or way to reconnect with her. I mean, he said he would have felt really bad if he just not thought about her anymore because he loved her. So by telling himself that, he was trying to find a way to connect. Of course, by telling himself that, he was just creating a bigger and bigger barrier. Does that make sense? So I think if you explore that, ask this question several times, and you often get down to that. This is a really useful question. So what are you trying to get for yourself by asking that? And if you get stuck, call one of us over. Maybe we can help you find out what it is.
Well, I think you made a nice point about this because it's not so much the positive intention of the story. It's more about what are you getting by telling yourself that? How is it serving you to be telling yourself that story? And then, as Tim said, you just ask that a couple of times and it will take you to some of these robust places like a sense of connection or self-love or some of those more robust type feelings and emotions. But this is a key part of it because often this is, if you think about a problem situation and you're feeling really bad about it, often the kernel that's inside of there is the positive intention and it wants to just break out of there. And so once you discover the positive intention, then it makes it a lot easier for whatever the anger or emotions are to melt away and the positive intention can come forward.
So make an assumption behind every behavior is a positive purpose. You may not know what it is and it may take a while to find out, but it's a very useful kind of concept. In NLP, we never get rid of anything. We say, well, what purpose is that trying to serve? What's a better way of doing it? So those of you that know NLP know about like reframing, six-step reframing. So it's just that we're doing the best we know how to do, we just need to find a better way. If you can find the positive purpose, then that'll begin to guide you and your unconscious mind about what would be a much better story.
Anytime you're feeling unresourceful or out of sorts, there's always a good reason why you're feeling that's under the surface. And so more often than not, it can be helpful to begin to explore that, which is why I love the NLP presupposition that behind every behavior or symptom is a positive purpose. And I think sometimes there's confusion around what that really means. But it's more about how is it just serving you to be holding the feelings around whatever you're feeling or dealing with.
So, questions? So we're going to ask you to find a partner. Ask the questions that are on page 18. So by the way, we noticed something. The printer delivered these and somehow... Have you ever been working in Word and you get a paragraph onto the next page? So this kind of drifted, so sorry about that. So we'll demonstrate how you might interview each other. So there's these five questions right here on the page. And what we'd recommend is don't just ask the question, get an answer and move on. Have a dialogue about it. So there's more to it. So use your best interviewing self to pull out what's there.
And as you are the interviewer, use all of your rapport skills. Listen with your heart. Put on your compassionate listening skills and really listen with your heart and give the person your full attention as you're interviewing them. So, Tim, think about an ongoing problem or situation. Do you have something in mind?
Yeah, you can never get ahead in this economy.
Okay. So what basically is the story behind that you've been... I mean, tell me more about this. What's the story?
The economy is supposedly recovering, but of course it hasn't really recovered. And you can work really hard, and the harder you work, the harder you have to keep working to get anything. And this economy is just going to keep us all down for a long time.
So you're feeling like it's really hard to get ahead and to...
Probably impossible in this economy.
Yeah, probably. So you have a sense then that it's totally impossible to get ahead in the economy.
Yeah, unless things change.
So So you're thinking the only way then is if something outside of you changes.
Well, the economy has to get better, and then of course it'll all be better.
So this is the kind of dialogue you want to have, and you want to backtrack what the person says just to get into deeper rapport. And then
now, if she's listening, and you're probably listening, you're probably thinking that that's a pretty limited way of thinking about things, right? Plus, it's out of my control, right? So if I'm thinking that way, and that's the problem I'm dealing with, I'm going to stay stuck.
And so then what you want to do is just go through all five questions and interview.
Have a dialogue like that rather than just answer it. Don't just answer it, write it down.
Think about an ongoing problem or situation that is wait, could you just, let's see, that's bothering you, and notice what you're telling yourself about it. What is your story?
That I chose badly on this exercise for a partner. I don't know. She's saying don't do it like that. So just have a conversation, make it natural, but ask these questions, and don't just stop with one answer, but do some probing questions too. But you imagine you're a reporter and you want to find out what's this person's story.
So the ultimate goal of the process is to get it down into a short phrase, to get the unconscious story behind the story, because there's got to be an unconscious story that's deeper than what he just said. And then go for the positive intention. And as Tim said, ask that meta outcome question several times.
So come up with a one or two sentence summary of the story and identify so you know what the positive purpose is. So you can appreciate yourself.
And you'll ask that question several times.
Okay. So find a partner, do that. We'll take about 20 minutes each. So come back 40 minutes from right now. So 10 till 4.